You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiam, Nisiaya, Thinkum Queen Ansep, Hydra Siam, Nisiam, Nisiaya, Anthas Gakhuya, Talitin, Homusqueam Mustayo. Welcome to Community Living Show here on the National Community and Campus Radio Association, all on the radio networks and on our flagship station for the full hour, CITR 101.9 FM.
You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. When the road rough ahead and miles from a nice warm bed, you just remember what your old pal said. Boy, you got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got a friend.
Well, welcome to Community Living Show here on the NCRA Radio Networks. I'm Kelly. Across from me is Michael Rubin. Hello, Michael.
Good morning, Kelly. How are you today?
Or good afternoon, or good evening.
Well, it depends on how people are listening to us, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Because you can catch us.
We are on the NCRA Radio Network, so it could be in the afternoon that we're doing this for a full hour, or it could be in the evening.
Or they could be listening via the podcast.
Yeah, either way.
Yeah. Anyway, so we have a special guest today. Keith Lloyd. He is a business expert, and his consultant business is called the Business Surgeon. So we're happy to have you here today.
Good morning, Michael. Thanks very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So one of the big reasons why we wanted to have you come on is because your claim to fame is being able to turn people's passions and hobbies into a small business. So,
yeah, I love what I do. It's fabulous. It's really cool to see people take something that is a dream and actually turn it into something that they can monetize.
Yeah.
Something that is saleable somewhere down the line as well. So it becomes an asset for them. I love that. I love helping them find that sweet spot that actually gets them to where they want to be.
Yeah. So why don't we start from the very beginning here? Is like, how did you get started doing what you're doing?
Well, thanks, Michael. I appreciate the credibility piece here. So I've been in business for about 29 years. I've been an entrepreneur for that long. And I started out with a company that was a food manufacturing company. And in fact, I actually brought stuff as I was driving in this morning to the station. I was thinking, oh yeah, I kind of remember where all this stuff is. But in any case, started out doing that. And about 9 years ago, I decided that I'd had enough and it had kind of run its course. And so I sold some of the business off and I really started looking at what it really meant to me and how many people have these same kind of dreams and how they actually turn it into something. How they decide that I'm really good at something, really, really good at something. And they end up starting a business, which is what I did 29 years ago. And the thing about when I started was there wasn't a lot of mentorship groups. I think there was Leaders of Tomorrow with Vancouver Board of Trade.
Right.
There wasn't a whole lot of other things that were out there to be able to support new entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, it's very different. You have everything from people like me who consult to new businesses and businesses that are, you know, needing some structure. And, you know, back then, there wasn't any of that. So for me, it was tried and true.
So it's a learning process.
Huge learning process.
Yeah.
A lot of mistakes, but when you make a mistake, it's an opportunity to learn, and you turn it from, as I heard a couple of weeks ago, a discovery into a success. And so when I started looking at what I wanted to do, 9 years ago, after, you know, post this business that was very successful, I started thinking about all those people that were out there that were trying to start new businesses and take it to a point where they wanted, where they could be successful and independent, where they could have some time. You know, we spend a lot of time as entrepreneurs developing a product or a service, and it, you know, that's the stuff we focus on, and we get so lost in that sometimes we end up working 55, 60 hours a week, slogging at it, and it becomes a jail almost.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get out of it.
So you want to keep them at a point where that passion is still enjoyable to them.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't just become like that 9-to-5.
Absolutely. So I started thinking about things like, okay, what did I do that made my situation better with my company? And some of it was in instituting, you know, some processes and structure within the company. You know, it gave me the freedom to be able to go and, you know, take afternoons off, go and, you know, go for a walk in the park, and, you know, things like that. And really, it took me from a place of, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, to, hey, look, you know, I can actually enjoy this. I can walk in when mm-hmm. I need to walk in. I mean, business is always structured. And I can walk out when I have to walk out at the end of the day. But in between, what do I choose to do?
Right.
And so I created the Business Surgeon. And what that does, or what we do, it's a consultancy of 4 experts. We all have had C-level positions in the past. And we really enjoy helping entrepreneurs get to those steps where they have that freedom, where they really enjoy it. I looked at, you know, how many people get caught up in their business so much that they begin to sacrifice things like their family. Mm-hmm. You know, I ask your listeners, how many of you are entrepreneurs out there that really aren't living that dream that you thought you were going to live when you first started your business? And so what I do is I go in and I help them find that again, find that passion, find that fire in their belly to make it want to grow.
Yeah.
I went through a lot of that stuff. I went through the trials, the tribulations, the pain, you know, of selling off a business, and it became a conglomerate of another business. And really what happened was, 20 of my employees were affected. So, you know, you look at that, how many people are affected by losing their jobs. You look at your suppliers, you look at your customers, things like that. And, you know, when you close a business, it's very traumatic. And, you know, I looked at that, and the last thing that I want to see is people that have this wonderful dream.
Yeah. There was this really interesting statistic I found once that when a business closes and the each employee, it doesn't just affect that one employee, but it affects up to 12 other people around them.
Oh, I think it affects way more than that. Because you're talking about, I mean, even within the typical family of, say, 4 people, not only does it affect them, it affects, so now you've got, in my case, 20 employees. You've got 80 people right there. Then you've got people that are, buying your product or your service, and they're no longer able to get it. We're supplying all the major chains in Vancouver and throughout BC. And, you know, all of a sudden, think of the times when you walk into a store and you're so loyal to a brand or a product, and then it's not there all of a sudden.
Yeah. Most consumers are brand loyal.
Very much
and
so.
That's kind of the goal of the business also, is to create that loyalty.
Well, yeah. I mean, the beauty of what consumers do is they find something that they really like, and then they stick with it. And that's great in a lot of ways. Sometimes we change because we see something different. But for the most part, people are brand loyal.
Yeah.
And when you get used to something, it's almost like something's been ripped out of your life, you know? And I really looked at all that, and I looked at how it affects all of the people that are around you. And a lot of entrepreneurs, when they start out, they have this dream and they don't think about the what ifs and the ending and all that kind of stuff. I do a lot of exit strategy planning with my clients. And what happens is they have, you know, when I bring it up with them, they're like, well, you know, I never thought of that. And I'm like, well, are you going to do this until you die then? And so they tend to be very much more, oh, well, now what? So they don't take into the, they're so focused on that dream, so focused on that success, so focused on building a business that they don't think about some of the other things that come up through all that. And, you know, what the end game really is.
Yeah.
And how it affects everyone around them. We all think that we're all going to work until we decide we're not going to, and we're going to have this huge pot of gold at the end of it. And that isn't necessarily the case unless you start doing the things right in the beginning.
Yeah. So if they do things the way they're supposed to happen in the beginning, mm-hmm. as we're starting our business, then things like the recession, we can ride them out. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I believe so. I'm a big believer, a big proponent of two big things in business. One of them is planning. So everything from strategy to having action plans. Mm-hmm. And then the other part of it is that you have to plan. You have to put this stuff into action. And I really believe that people do tend to say, oh, I'll do it later. I'll just do it later. And I'll worry about it then. But it really needs to be put in place in the beginning.
Right.
So I urge everyone that is out there. I know that one of the programs, the self-employment program at Douglas College, they are a big proponent of starting business plans. You don't get to move forward in your dream until you have something like that completed. And, you know, really that's formalized schooling, and that's a very good thing for new entrepreneurs to go through. You know, and if you're getting any kind of things like crowdfunding, that's a big deal these days.
Yeah.
You know, there is a need for things like plans, financial statements, projections, all those kinds of things. And when you're really good at being a widget builder or providing a service, that's what you're really good at. But in terms of actually running a business, you might not be very good at it. And so it's always great to get the right kind of help to be able to, move your business forward in a proper way, proper foundation.
And you and your team provide a lot of the help that's actually needed.
So yes, we do.
So they can actually realize what help they actually need so they can actually go and find it.
Absolutely. So, you know, I've been a big proponent for a number of years now that I'm not the only one. I'm not good at everything. So, you know, I brought in a team of experts, a financial officer that has, you know, a million years experience, it feels like sometimes, and a really great executive, but likes the entrepreneurial way. And so, you know, he tends to do that more than anything else. I've got a branding specialist who is a graphic designer also, and she's fabulous at everything that she does. She's original and artistic and creative, and you know, all of our clients are extremely happy with the work that she does. We have a marketing guy who is really, really good, has been a CMO in different companies before. Barry has struck out and done his own thing because, you know, he wants a little more freedom in what he does, as we all are as entrepreneurs and what we do. Mm-hmm. So I've got a good team of people around me, but then I am also very well connected to other resources. So, you know, if I can't do it, then I'm going to connect you with the right people that will help you. And I don't just connect anybody. I connect people through, you know, their reputation that I know of. And maybe I've had some experiences with them as well that are positive.
Cool. So I see you brought gifts.
Yes. Well, you know, I'm a big believer that, you know, giving back to the community is a big deal. And mm-hmm. I really for me, my whole mission statement revolves around success of other entrepreneurs. So, you know, we create with motivated entrepreneurs a long-term path of success with proven systems, processes, coaching, and support. Well, sometimes you don't get to that point until you get to other points. And so today I brought a couple of books by one of my mentors, Colin Sprake, called The Entrepreneur Success Recipe. And it's a great book. It provides a lot of steps through the process of actually starting a business. And it helps you kind of get some structure around what you do. And so I'd love to have your listeners enjoy the benefits of this book. It's a number one bestseller. And everyone that I've talked to that's read it and myself think it's a great book. So
I think we can do, say, an email contest?
Sure.
Okay. Email contest, yes.
So if I get there's two books.
Yes.
The first book can go away to the first person to actually to email. Should we have them email Keith?
Well, we directly, got
or have them email us.
Be more likely to email us.
Okay. So if you email us at
Community Living Radio
at gmail.com. And the first person to actually send us in an email will get the first book. The second book, what we'll do is we'll actually have Keith, we'll throw all the rest of the emails into a basket, and then Keith can pull that email and he will send the book to you that way.
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. We'll make sure that you get it into your hands, and we're just looking forward to people enjoying this book.
Sure. So just all you need is the information and your name, your email address and stuff like that. And send it over to our address, communitylivingradio@gmail.com.
Put in the, of course, title it free book.
Okay? Free book, yeah.
Yeah.
And just for anyone that is entering this contest, I'd love to actually hear what it is that you're doing. I love getting to know businesses and just talking to them and seeing what their vision is and hearing what their passion really is. There's not enough people out in the work world that have a passion that they actually live through. So, you know, to actually hear entrepreneurs speak about what they love is fabulous.
Yeah. On that note, we got to take a break.
Okay.
And we're talking to
Keith Lloyd.
Keith Lloyd,
Business Surgeon.
All right, we'll be back.
CITR presents a night of guitar pop with Vancouver shoegaze lounge specialist Ace Martins, atmospheric indie rock from Mission's Western Jaguar, and spunky power pop The Sylvia Platters on Friday, June 12th at the Princeton Pub. Cover is $5 at the door. Music starts at 9 p.m.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion!
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band, swag. All types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar, the human serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the top floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
We are back. This is the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. And we're talking with Keith Lloyd about entrepreneurs. Am I right, Michael?
Entrepreneurs. And now, One of the things, because so a good number of our listeners do have some sort of a disability or something like that, it doesn't matter if they want to become an entrepreneur.
No, of course not. I really am a firm believer that it doesn't matter who you are. If you believe you can do something, then you will actually do it. Yeah. Henry Ford once said, whether you believe you can or you can't, it will. It will be.
Cool.
So, I don't find any, like I work with everybody, and in terms of, sometimes it can actually be an advantage to have a disability. I've seen artists out in music world turn disabilities into advantages where they're doing amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
People that have some kind of physical disability, it doesn't limit you from being able to run a business. It just might mean that in some cases, only some cases, you actually might need somebody else to help you out with some of the things that the average person might have.
Yeah. That also brings you to, because like you said before, we can't do it all as a business owner, that you're going to need help. So it brings you to the question of, because there's this big thing about outsourcing versus hiring employees. So how do you help entrepreneurs make that decision, which is the best way to do it, depending on what the job is, or how do you go about that?
Right. Well, Michael, what I tend to do is I'll sit down with a business owner if I'm doing it with them, even if it's a conversation over coffee, and I'll just sit down and find out what their needs really are. So, if it's something that they can do in-house and it's actually going to cost them less. So if an entrepreneur values his time at, say, $100 an hour.
Okay.
If he can bring somebody in to do, say, his filing, his paperwork, his books, whatever, at $15, $20, $25 an hour, he should be doing that. As long as the business is viable. I mean, most entrepreneurs, when they start up, they don't have, the financial means to be able to really go the way that, till you get that critical mass in your business and sales and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can do it, ask friends and family. That's one of the best ways to get support to begin with. That's a reasonable way of outsourcing and getting support and feeling like you're supported. A lot of solopreneurs that are out there feel very alone out in this world. And, they travel this path and they think that they have to do it all by themselves until they can hire somebody, because there's that justification for actually bringing somebody in and helping them. I'm going to pay you.
Mm.
Sometimes all it takes is a couple quick questions with somebody that is knowledgeable in a subject. It could be everything from, graphic design, what should my cards look like, what kind of layout to, how is my widget going to be built better, how can I make it better,
right.
To setting up an office or things like that. So, always good to ask advice. It was one of my biggest faults for a long time of not asking. I always felt that, I can, I'll do it myself and it'll be fine And then there was that ego that kicked in, nobody can do it like me. But that's not really true. It's people do it and they just do it better. And if you communicate with them properly, then they'll actually probably do it pretty close to what you want. So in terms of, keeping stuff in-house, outsourcing, I'm a big believer that, you get the experts in when you really need it. And really need it means growth of your business.
Right.
In terms of doing things in-house, if you can pay somebody, if you're generating $100 an hour, or $50 an hour, or whatever it might be, in profit, then, bringing somebody in at $25 an hour is going to cut your profit, but it's also going to free up your time to build your business. And a lot of entrepreneurs get so caught up in their business, in doing their business, that they don't actually work on it. And so businesses stay flat for a long time. I work with a lot of companies that are 3 to 5 years old. They get past that hump and that adrenaline and everything else, mm-hmm. that kind of goes. And then they get to all that drama's gone. you know, I don't have, I'm, things are running smoothly. Now what do I do? And I, you know, even happened in my business where I actually found that I plateaued after a while. And I really didn't. It was kind of like, okay, I got nothing to do today. Well, that's the time that you really want to start working on your business. You know, all the drama's gone. People are working, you know, in your office. Everything's running smooth. That's the time to do it. And that's typically right. when companies want to tend to outsource, start to really, like, really spend money, not just do the little things here and there,
yeah.
but to really actually spend money on the growth of their business.
So is that something that you would help? Because you always go back to the plan. I've noticed that. Is that something that you actually help them plan out? That
you know, my background is operations, and I'm a firm believer that you always, always, always have backup. So that, you know, like for instance today, I'm driving here and traffic is crazy on the road. Well, okay, so my backup is blah blah blah. You know, I'm going to go this way instead of this way. Well, it's the same thing in business. You know, you run into a roadblock and you end up going, you know, a different way so that you get there faster, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of what I do, yeah, for me, it's about getting to know the business. And people say to me, well, you know, you've been in this industry, you know, how do you know anything about my industry? Well, the funny thing is that it's just kind of like accounting, where, you know, you're doing numbers, you're doing systems and processes. Those are all numerical flow charts and spreadsheets, and you know, they're no different in some ways. You know, financial statements and balance sheets are no different than creating a process in how you do your business. You know, could every be everything from a sales process to, you know, that kind of, you know.
How often do you hear that, no, that doesn't work in my industry? And the truth is, it does actually work.
Well, it's so funny because, you know, over the years, when I first started out, there was a lot of that. I had been in the manufacturing industry and people were going, well, how do you know anything about construction?
Right.
Well, you know, really, the construction part of it, it isn't that I'm going out and pounding nails.
No.
You know, it's that I'm actually working with you to develop all these different systems of how your logistics work, you know, in terms of delivery of you know, planning of, okay, we need to have so-and-so in here. And there's a little bit of project management in terms of that kind of thing. And so,
now, you know, I've just got to have a question mm-hmm. there on construction. Anybody can do it, including people with disabilities, for that matter?
I believe so. I think that there's, you know, there's opportunities for everyone out there.
Mm-hmm.
You may not be physically able to, you know, carry a load of brick somewhere.
Right.
But certainly there are different things that you can do. And in the construction industry, there's even things like architecture. There's, you know, there's labor kind of jobs that are a little easier.
Right.
That I'm sure, you know, there are companies out there that are willing to give opportunities to people that are disadvantaged.
You're looking at a person who is autistic because I'm partly autistic myself, and I do operate the radio and stuff, so I mm-hmm. do kind of a little bit of an entrepreneur there, here and there.
Absolutely, so. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, you've got to you've got to find guests each week. You've got to find
yes.
places to fill. You've got to have radio spots, you've got to have all kinds of things mm-hmm. that go on within that business. But that's fairly typical of any business. I mean, you run everything from, you know, you've got a set schedule because mm-hmm. your listeners have specific time frames that they want to listen to things.
That's right.
However, you know, there's the spaces in between,
mm-hmm.
there's the dialogue, there's the interviews, there's the questions, there's all those kinds of things. Yeah. Well, there's not a lot of difference in the actual operational structure of how companies work.
Mm-hmm.
So going from a manufacturer to, you know, a company that is in construction, there are some definite differences in what they're delivering. But the other side of that is that the basic structure of each company starts with things like business plans.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in your business plan, you've got everything from, you know, what your overview is, you know, are you going to raise capital, your financial projections, if you've got some histories, then that's mm-hmm. good too. Operational things, where are you going to be, who's your target market, all those kinds of things mm-hmm. are very, very similar all the way across the board. And it doesn't matter who is doing it. I used to sit on the panel review board with Douglas College to do all their business plans. And everything from, you know, nurse next door, similar kind of programs, right, to, you know, landscapers, to, you know, what have you. They all start with one thing, and that's usually a business plan. And they don't have to be this humongous document. They can start out basically as an action plan, and with a little bit of maybe an executive summary, and just, you know, write down what your passion is, and write down what your mission and your vision statements are, what your core values are. You've heard a little bit about what my why is this morning. Find out and really figure out what your why. So, why are you doing this?
Yeah. So how important is the why and the core values? How important is that to the actual business?
It's incredibly important, and people don't think about, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs don't think about, who do I want to really be out there, you know, providing this service or giving this product to? Mm-hmm. And, you know, anything that the line I heard a couple of weeks ago was, your target market, women. Your other target market, men. Your other target market, anyone that can fog a mirror. And so, you know, that is what typically entrepreneurs start out with. And it's not really the focus that you want to have. So when you do your why, first of all, you figure out exactly what it is about what you do and why you do it. You know, there's something in your core that says, I really have this burning desire to do this thing. And so, you know, a lot of clients that I start with, you know, that's one of the first things I go through with them is, why are you doing this? Like, what is it about this that really drives you on a daily basis?
So if that why, when you're sitting with them in that consultation, and it seems like, okay, that why seems a little wishy-washy or something like that, how do you work with them to strengthen their why, or do you guide them maybe in the same area of business but towards something slightly different? How does that work?
Well, a lot of times people have a fairly good idea of what they want to do and kind of why they want to do it, but it's not that clear. Like, for me, when I first started my very first business, it was actually about the excitement of building a business. And a lot of entrepreneurs get into that excitement of, oh, wow, this is going to be fabulous and successful, and I'm going to make lots of money and blah, 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 right? But they don't think necessarily about what it is that they're doing. They just know they kind of do it well. And, you know, I'm a landscape. I love working with the earth, so, you know, landscape design works for me, right?
Right.
Well, some of that could be some of their core stuff that they happened to them when they were growing up. I know a story of a gentleman who did kitchen cabinets, does high-end kitchen cabinets in the Lower Mainland here. And one of his things that he does for his clients is at the end of his... at the end of the project, these people have these amazing looking kitchen cabinets.
Mm-hmm.
And what he does is he then goes to them and says, so what do you like to eat? And so they tell him, and he goes, and as a thank you, he fills their fridge. Well, the reason why he does this is because when he was very young, he grew up in Eastern Europe, and he always had a very... you know, low amount of almost nothing in the fridge. And he'd go to the fridge and there'd be a sandwich in his fridge. And his mom would say, no, you can't have that. There's one sandwich and it's for the next 4 days for our family of four.
Wow.
Yeah. And so that really hit his core. And so when he came over here, you know, it became a very big piece of how he was connecting with people was through food. And so now that he does these fabulous kitchens, this is how he does his thank you. And this is why he does what he does,
mm-hmm.
right? Because he loves to be able to see people enjoy. You know, it used to be a place of darkness for him as a child. So he wants to create this amazing light for people that are, you know. Well.
But it's interesting more that he looks into the fridge and that's the only sandwich that he has in the fridge that... he had. He probably, like, starved throughout the week until the next sandwich comes along.
Well, yeah. And so, you know, going back to the core stuff, that can be your core stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff that really drives you. And really, that's what I like to pull out of people. Like, why are you really doing this?
Right.
You know, like, because if you don't know, you kind of go through and it's kind of muddled and wishy-washy. If you don't have a clear vision, then you probably won't have a clear history of in your business.
Mm.
Right. So pulling out things like, you know, what is in their core in terms of their why, and then developing their core values. You mentioned core values. I actually recently just redid my core values and I actually put them to paper, which, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs just think, oh, I got it in my head. I actually found that it was a very important exercise. And the reason for that is because it actually had me look at who my past clients were, who our present clients are, and really made me understand what went right, what could have been different, why I would have taken them on, why I shouldn't have taken them on in some cases, and why, you know, what I want to do going forward in who I work with. So, you know, my core values are very, very clear. We're actually in the process of redoing our website, and, you know, that's something that we're going to be putting up on ours, is what our core values are, what right. our why is, because that's really important to, you know, all entrepreneurs for their businesses. If they don't know why they're doing it, and if they don't know what their morals and ethics are, I guess, and what their core beliefs are, then it's really hard to go and do business in a really focused, clear way.
Right. So one of the things that I've heard numerous times is that actually small business is the backbone of our community. How true is that?
It's very true. As people become more and more disenfranchised with their jobs, you know, there's a 75 or 80% unhappiness rate. More and more entrepreneurs and more businesses sprout. And because of that, it's really important as someone new starting out that they gain a community of people that help them through a lot of this stuff. And as someone who has been there for a long time, I really believe in taking you know, and helping anyone that is new and just giving them a little bit of advice. You know, coffee is an hour of my time, but you know what, if it makes a difference to someone, you know, and helps them get a good start or the right start, then I'm all for it. You know, my mission is to help businesses. It isn't to help myself, you know.
All right. And
we're going to take a break on that note.
Can we give that email address one more time?
Yes. Gmail address is communitylivingradio@gmail.com. We have one entry now. I just found out now, just a moment ago. One entry. So we'll figure out who's going to get the book. So we'll figure it out when we come back.
All right.
Tune in to the Red Jam Slam Radio Festival in celebration of Aboriginal Week from June the 17th to June the 21st. The festival will be broadcast across Canada on 7 different stations.
Tune in to www.ckdu.ca or at 88.1 FM in Halifax, Nova Scotia. www.chuo.ca or at 89.1 FM in Ottawa, Ontario.
www.ckuw.ca or at 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
www.ckxu.ca or at 88.3 FM in Lethbridge, Alberta.
And in Vancouver, British Columbia, tune in to
www.cjsf.ca or at 90.1 FM.
www.cooperadio.org or at 100.5 FM.
And www.citr.ca or at 101.9 FM.
This year, listen live from 1 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time from June the 17th to the 21st. Check out redjamslam.com.
Old or New Testament?
I think the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, Pilate. Remember Pilate from the New Testament?
Pontius Pilate. He fiddled while...
Yeah, no, well, just a minute. Let me ask the question, then you can give me the answer, okay? Did Pilate want Jesus to be crucified?
Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it.
So did he want him to be crucified?
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Well, tune in every Friday afternoon, 3:30 to the Night Watch Show on Sunday.
Well, find a good church. It'll help you.
All right, welcome to Community Living Show here on the National Community Radio Association, National Campus Radio Association Networks. I'm Kelly Rayburn along with Michael Rubin, and we also have one winner just so far. So just
We have a few other emails coming in, right?
Yeah, hopefully we have a few more emails. So give us an email, communitylivingradio@gmail.com. Yeah. We're talking to Keith Lloyd about all sorts of entrepreneurs and stuff like that. So good to see you, Keith.
Thanks very much, Kelly. I appreciate being here on the show. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we were discussing the importance in our community for entrepreneurship. And it needs to be, entrepreneurs also need to be guided because as one of our friends has said, and the author of the book that you're giving away has said that entrepreneurs, they look for that new shiny object all the time, the squirrel effect.
Yes, the squirrel effect. And that is very true. It's wonderful to have a passion, but when you have a million things going on in your head, it's very easy to get a million in one. You know, distraction is one of the biggest challenges for entrepreneurs. Oh, I need to do this. Oh, I need to do this. Oh, I need to do this. Focus is very challenging. I think it's probably one of the prerequisites for being an entrepreneur. I think that a lot of people out there, they also get overwhelmed with that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're here and there and everywhere and, oh, look, there's something else. What I tend to teach people when I'm doing a little bit of coaching is to stay focused on one thing and get it done, and then it's off your plate. So, you know, in terms of process, you know, that's why we develop checklists that are similar to what project managers use, where they have, you know, building, for instance, we have a mutual friend who, you know, talks about building a sandwich. Right. And, you know, using that process basically to determine everything that you need to do in that. And then each huge task becomes a smaller task, and it becomes much more easier to bite off and actually accomplish. And when you get that accomplishment, it's a great feeling. You know, you don't feel so weighed down. And you know, when entrepreneurs actually are, the successful entrepreneurs get stuff done. That's the bottom right. line. And the only way that they can do that is to find that focus. And it's got to be pretty laser sharp sometimes when you've got other opportunities that are presenting themselves.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of a few friends say that it's like, oh, yeah, I know my business will really take off if I just add this one more product or...
I'm a big believer that you focus on... the old term was you stick to your knitting.
Right.
And so... You know, really, if you're really good at one thing, make sure you're doing really well at it. I was thinking about SkyTrain on the way in this morning.
Okay.
And how they've had a lot of issues around mechanical problems and things like that especially over the last month or two. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm a big proponent that you actually, before you start doing any kind of expansion in your business, you actually take care of what you have, your customers, your products, make sure your products are running smoothly, mm-hmm. those kinds of things. And, you know, not that I'm giving them or telling them how to run their business, but,
right.
you know, it would be when you're relying on transit to get you somewhere and it becomes an issue because of breakdowns or whatever it might be, it tends to put a sour note on people's minds about specifically, and you become like the butt of jokes in media and things like that. No business wants to be like that. And so, you know, take care of your customers first, mm-hmm. and make sure that they're well, you know, they're well taken care of, and then start working on other things. Shiny objects, great thing. You know, a million things, great thing. Those are all goals. Those are all steps that you take in the process along your path as an entrepreneur.
Mm. Yeah.
What about situations of book clubs? I know I posted on our Spectrum Society club, or Spectrum Society, our group is called 101 to make friends, and what they talk about is maybe adding some kind of issues on book clubs and making new friends out of that portion.
It is definitely one kind of networking, commonalities. You know, you can have a business book club where, you know, a number of people read the same book, or they all read different books and give, you know, reviews to each book. And yeah. It gives other entrepreneurs an opportunity to actually hear feedback on what worked for them in the book and what didn't work for them in that mm-hmm. book. We started when I was with Blends Coffee in 2008, 2009, we started a book a month club for all the franchisees, and got them some success books, mm-hmm. you know, and it was an interesting project. Again, you know, when you have a book club, you have a meeting and you have people together and talking about it. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing that was probably missing from that program. However, you know, getting together once a week with people that are like-minded is a fabulous thing. Even if you're a slower reader, it doesn't matter. You can still at least talk about the pieces that you are reading or what you have read in the book. Just because you're in a book of the month club doesn't mean that you are going to plow through a book in, you know, a couple of hours.
Mm. Right.
So I'm a big believer that you just let people know what you're learning. So
mm-hmm. You mentioned the like-mindedness and the joining of minds together like that. And I've heard this term a few times, and maybe you can shed a little more light on it for folks. It's called masterminding. It's kind of like that book club, I guess, and that everybody comes together with some commonalities.
Absolutely. Mastermind groups are a fabulous way for you to share ideas between people that are in business together, even out there, you know, workers that are in common, you know, that are in the same company and things like that. Those are called boardroom meetings usually. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're a solopreneur, you don't really have those boardroom meetings. So getting together with a mastermind group, people that are in business or that have some interest towards the common topic of the group is a really great way to get support. It's also a way to share ideas. One person doing a business, you know, in their business doesn't necessarily know all the answers. Having a group that's a support group, basically, you know, this is where community comes in again, where, you know, you get together once a week, once a month, on the phone, in a room, wherever it might be, mm-hmm. and you share stories and share ideas. It's a really great way for people to build companies. You know, I'm looking for this week, and, you know, I don't know where to find it, or, you know, how do I build my business to the next level? You know, maybe you guys can help me out. Mastermind groups are fabulous. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of cases, you know, people that start them are usually looking for those kinds of ideas. And what happens is you grab people that are above you and below you, so you can lift people up, but also gain some knowledge so that you can move up to your next level as well in business.
Yeah. Sounds like a really important concept to keep in mind when trying to grow a business too.
Oh, I think so. Community is amazing. Like going back to, you know, going out of the corporate world, getting out of the corporate world and going back into entrepreneurship again has been fabulous for me. Reconnecting with people that I've known for a long, long time. I reconnected with someone that I've known for 35 years yesterday, and you know they're in business for themselves, and you know it was kind of cool. to go through that and see that and talk to them. And, you know, that network that you build becomes your business community. And so anyone that's going into business or has been in business for a little while, check out meetups, check out other networking groups in the Lower Mainland. There's a ton of them. And, you know, if you're walking in there for the first time, it doesn't matter who you are, they're usually very welcoming. Everyone loves to do business together, but everyone loves to help each other as well. So I urge people to kind of get out into networking and get out there and do, you know, do your thing.
So, again, we're going to urge you again to, if you want a chance at getting the second book, please do email us at communityLivingRadio@gmail.com. And with that, I'm going to ask Keith, what are the best ways for people to reach out to you and communicate their needs to you?
Well, we have a number of different ways to be able to do that. You can find us on Facebook at The Business Surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
You can find us on Twitter at Biz Surgeon, B-I-Z Surgeon. You can find us on our website, businesssurgeon.ca. I'd love to hear your stories. I'd love to hear what you're up to and where you are in your business and how things are going for you. Those are the three main ways. You can also email me, klloyd@businesssurgeon.ca.
Awesome.
I just want to make that note on the note on the books for those books that are trying to participate. We should have a deadline if you want to have these books.
Well, Keith, it's his giveaway. So what do you think is the most optimal close of business today? Is that okay?
I think the end of midnight tonight is great.
Okay.
It's fine because
I was thinking Friday. When we do our other show on the other station on Co-op Radio.
So oh, absolutely. I want to give as many people the opportunity to get this book. It's a fabulous read, and it's a great way to start your business.
Yeah.
So we can just have it at our station here, and then we'll mention about what we had from today's show.
So we could say midnight tomorrow.
Yeah, midnight tomorrow. So.
Is that okay, Keith?
Absolutely. That's
right.
Fine.
That'd be great.
All right.
Thank you, Keith.
Thank you very much, Kelly, and thank you, Michael. I really appreciate the opportunity of being able to come in here and share some stories and, you know, share some information with people that are thinking about starting a business or that have been in for a little while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. We'll talk to you again next week. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.